Yeah. If you guys could turn open in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 4. We'll start by reading a little passage there. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 27. Proverbs chapter 4, 20 through 27. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their body. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put devious speech far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead, and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this opportunity. I get to come up here tonight and to preach from your word. I pray that it's edifying to your body, that it continues to strengthen and encourage the saints, that we can press on and we can push back the gates of Hades and to push back all the devil's schemes, and we can really extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Pray that we can continue to encourage and stimulate one another to love and good deeds. And I pray for those who are sick or are hurting or not with us here tonight, just pray that you can comfort them in their times of distress, and that you can keep their minds solid and focused on you. It's your son's name I pray. Amen. All right, so the title that I have for my message tonight is Focus. So I'm going to leave it right there, okay? Just focus. I don't want your eyes to leave me the whole time. That's going to be hard to do, and I'm just kidding. But I'm going to talk about focus, and I like starting with Proverbs chapter 4 because it does really, there's a couple different things in there. Watch over your heart with all diligence. Being diligent. Watch over our heart. Why? Because that's where life is going to be coming from. Another thing that I really like from there talks about, hey, look directly ahead. Don't turn to the right or to the left. Because there is a possibility to waver in one's faith. Amen? It's a real thing. Don't turn to the right or to the left. And then also talks about, hey, don't be a participant in evil. And this is all going to kind of come around full circle, I hope. I'm not exactly sure. We'll see how it all turns out. But I want to talk about an individual, our ideas of focusing as an individual, and then I want to talk about collectively as a body. Because everybody knows that focus is a big, big deal. And if you're not focused, what's going to happen? Well, you're going to end up in a ditch. Or something really bad like that, as I am referencing to earlier with Nolan. You could end up in a ditch. Well, why is that? Because you're not focused on what you're doing. You're not focused on the tasks at hand. And I know I've brought this up before, but there's an example I thought about that this guy, he brought up, a preacher, and he said, when I was learning how to drive, my dad, he's like, hey, let's go out and drive. He said, okay. His dad's in the passenger seat. And he just starts driving on the highway, and he's just going crazy. I mean, this guy is all over. He's going into the other lane, and he's going this way and that way. And the dad is just like, what is going on? He said, pull over. He's like, okay. He said, okay, let's take this a little bit slower. Now let's restart this and go a little bit slower. And he started doing the exact same thing. It didn't matter how fast he was going. He was all over the place. Come to find out, he said, what are you looking at, son? And he said, I'm looking right in front of the hood, and I'm trying to keep right in between the two lines. And he said, obviously, when the curvature of the road would happen, he would start, you know, it would catch him off guard because he's not anticipating what's happening down the road. Well, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to look down the road. Obviously, you look right in front of yourself, and you kind of vary between those two. But sometimes I think that can happen with us in our faith. Maybe we get too much out there, and we don't realize there's a deer right here. But sometimes we get too focused on what's right here, and we're just all over the place. Right? We got to keep our focus. We got to stay sharp. And tonight, really, what I want to talk about is really just to bring light to some things. It's possible I might be stepping on some toes. I'm sure I'm going to step on at least one or two toes, even my own. I've already stepped on them a little bit, looking over some of this stuff. But what I really want us to be aware of is that the devil is trying to get us to become ineffective. And some of the stuff I'll bring up tonight, it's not anything revolutionary or just outlandish. You guys probably have all heard this a dozen times. But really what I'm fearful of is that the devil is going to try to create not a culture that is, you know, completely anti-God, which it is completely anti-God, okay? Don't get me wrong. But it is one that is more of a slow burn. It's kind of like, well, it's a diluted Christianity, if you will. He's not coming out as like, oh, you guys should hate God, blatantly. Obviously, he thinks that, and that's his motive. But it's more of one like, oh, you've been pushing on the gas for a while. You could probably put it on cruise control. You know, you could slow down just a little bit. You know what? You've been focusing for a long time. Maybe you should just relax your eyes a little bit and, you know, get on Facebook or something. What I want to talk about is not anything revolutionary, but the devil is attacking the church. And just as there is warfare, because, you know, let's kind of, I'm going to talk a little bit about politics tonight. You got China versus U.S., right? You got lots of other big nations versus U.S. I don't always know who's the right or the good guy in every situation. I think it's really hard to nail down. But the warfare has translated not just from troops versus troops. It is more of propaganda, proxy wars, different things that are subliminally put in there to just slowly sway a general populace a certain way, to start to get a certain viewpoint, the majority of people to start thinking a certain way. You know, these things happen all the time in warfare, and that's a big part of warfare. It's not just about, hey, we're going to send this 100 troops here to fight these 100 troops. A lot of it is propaganda as well. And what do you think the devil is going to be using? He's going to be working in the ways that we don't always see. He disguises himself as what? As an angel of light. He's going to be doing things. I remember thinking about when I was a little kid, I had a very vivid imagination. And I remember thinking about making movies. And I was like, I want to make a bunch of movies. I wasn't going to be in them, but I wanted to direct them and I wanted to create all the characters and all these different things. And one movie that I had in mind was about the devil. I wanted to paint a picture of spiritual warfare, and I'm sure there's a movie like this out there, but I wanted to make it very, obviously, spiritually motivated. And one aspect is that I would create this character that he seemed like he was supposed to be the superhero, basically Superman. He's supposed to be doing all these good things, and you're convinced that he is basically saving the majority of the people in this movie. But at the end, you find out he's the one that's been undermining the whole thing. And that would obviously be an allusion to the devil. Because what is he trying to do? He's trying to paint himself up as a savior to the world. Hey, I'm an angel of light, he says. I'm the good guy. He's beautiful. He's very deceiving. But we got to keep our focus where it needs to be. And where is that? Where are we supposed to be focused? On the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Hebrews 12. Now, this is where I kind of want to step on some people's toes. There's something that is always, I'm not exactly sure I want to go through this, but what is something that most people generally always have on them? They wake up with it, the first thing they wake up with, the last thing they go to bed with. They take it to the shower, they take it on walks, and sometimes they do make it to assembly without their Bibles, but they definitely don't make it to assembly without this. I don't know, there might be a few other things. Will Sweeney's in the back. He's got his phone up high. Yeah, you got that on you, don't you, brother? I got mine up here. They preach with it. Some people use it for notes, though. So I'm just using it as a prop. I don't use it normally. No, the phone is one that I think, that's one aspect that I'm going to talk about tonight. I think that's one way that the devil really tries to get us to become ineffective. How about you? I didn't get too many nods, so either I'm stepping on toes or you've lost focus. No, I'm just kidding. The phones are deceivingly make us unproductive. And I've been thinking about that a lot. Really, generally, just most of things that people are idolizing in general make them unproductive. But I think the phone itself really is. And so I'm going to just throw out some stuff. Because one of the things about being focused, people that are hyper-focused, they're not always thinking about being focused. They don't go out and say, I'm going to be focused. They just are. They just have a goal in mind, and they just figure out how they're just chipping away at this goal. And then one of the things that I have learned that I've seen about a lot of people who are very focused is that they are not reliant, though, upon their phones. Now, they can be. CEOs, they just text a lot. They just are always communicating. But they don't have a reliance upon it in the way that most people do. Most people have a reliance upon a phone as something where it's a dopamine fix. It's something that they wait for the social media or the texting. They just wait for the little dopamine kick, right? Because that's really what it is. It's more of a way to escape reality almost. But I think there's a danger to that, and that's what I want to kind of talk about tonight. I'm going to briefly bring up some stats. Like I said, did I say I was going to step on anybody's toes? Sorry. Focusing is hard. My dad brought this up a while ago. I don't remember when it was, but he said people's focus has actually drastically decreased over the recent years. And I don't know exactly how accurate this is or in what context this would be. But the amount of time that you have to focus on one particular thing is about 8.25 seconds. And then the study said that a goldfish can focus on one thing for exactly 9 seconds. So we are officially less focused than goldfish as a mankind. And I don't know exactly how accurate that is, but 8.25 seconds. And so my dad brought up, we can now probably discern, at least going back in history, how long Peter was walking on the water before he looked down and then he sunk. Probably around 10 seconds. I don't know. It depends on how long he was able to focus. But, you know, people have a tendency to look at one thing, they get focused on one thing, but then their distraction goes here, and then they might come back to it, then their distraction goes away, they come back to it. And if you've noticed on social media, there's a reason why those things are designed the way they are, because they know they can't keep your attention for too long. I mean, the TikToks are probably only a few seconds long. That, right? Am I wrong? Those little videos, I don't have TikTok, but I've had some of them sent to me, and those little videos are only a few seconds long, and then they quit, and then there's another one that's a few seconds long. It's different, and then that one stops, and then there's another one. And the reason why that is because the people who design these things are very intelligent. They understand the human mind, and they understand what's going to keep people engaged for longer. See, if they just gave you a 15-minute lecture on TikTok, you would have lost interest minutes ago, and you would have been on something else. But it's that consistent, you know, the little things. It's just feeding the dopamine fix. And there's so many different things I have on this. I don't even know exactly where I want to put all my energy, because I could just be here for days. There's different studies and different things. And actually, they have algorithms to see what you like, and they can watch how long you're looking at each image or post, or who you're interacting with the most, or who you like the most. They have access to all of this different stuff. And so what they're doing is they're just extrapolating all this information. Now, everything that's a service costs money. It really does. So for all those who really want to be millionaires without doing the work, there you go. If you want to be really wealthy, you have to create enough service to make you really wealthy. Now, there's different ways to do that. But on the other side of this is that anything that is free, there still is a product that's being sold, though. So social media is free, right? Oh, I can just download this app for free. Yay! Woo! Who's the product, though? You are. You're the product. So anything, there's always a catch. There's always something. It's not like people are just giving out free stuff for fun. There is still an advertisement side to this, okay? So they're still making money. It's a business. But there is a lot of people that have come together to make these things so that people get basically sucked in and lost into these for hours and hours. And sometimes, if I don't even like looking at this, because I look back at how much time I spent on my phone, I got rid of all the social media, but then I just fill it with something else, you know, whether it's a chess app or something. There's always something else you can fill it back in with, right? But, this is a very interesting thing. And I think we got to be understanding that there's a lot more weight on social media and things of like that nature in media that really persuade a general populace in a particular way. Now, I'm not going to go way off the conspiracy, you know, way. If you have more questions or you want to talk about this stuff more, I'd be happy to talk with you about it, not up here. But let's even just take the voting, right? In 2020, there's a lot of people who said, you know, the votes were stolen. There were votes that were supposed to be Republican that ended up turning Democrat. Now, I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole, per se, but there's pretty interesting stuff if you do want to go down that rabbit hole. But what is obvious beyond any reasonable doubt is that the media and the way that social media, you guys saw this with COVID, the way that they are able to manipulate the general populace, namely BLM or different things, Black Lives Matter, the way they are able to just corral the general populace through these things is crazy. I think a lot of votes got people got to voting a certain way just because of the way that they are able to corral people through these mechanisms. Now, I'm not just up here to talk about this because, you know, you guys are like, I want to hear the word of God, and I'm going to get to that. But I think it's my responsibility as a preacher to tell you guys that these things, this is where it's really at. What's real? What are we dealing with on a day in and day out basis? If we allow ourselves to be, we could go to Romans chapter 12. I'm not going to have time to go there. I had it written down. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 talks about what? Don't be conformed to this world. There's a tremendous amount of pressure through these things to conform a certain way. Now, I'm not saying don't have social media. Please don't misunderstand me. But I do think it's my responsibility to bring certain things forward that I see moving in a particular direction. You know, Nolan was in school, Mr. Toole, and he said, I think I found the problem with our generation as all the kids are dropping all their phones off up on the desk. Again, I'm not trying to condemn everybody that gave their kid a phone. I'm not doing that. We live in a different world, different from the past in lots of ways, but there still is this aspect, we don't really know the long-term effects of how this stuff impacts us and our children. And so what was one of the biggest examples of how a lot of people, this is one of my biggest concerns, what's a big way that people will argue against the COVID vaccine? It's untested, right? We don't know what 5 years down the road it's going to look like. Why am I supposed to put something in my body that we don't know what's going to happen in 10 years because of it? That's a legitimate question. It's whether you did or you didn't, I'm not trying to say that was right or wrong. I'm just saying that's a good question. Just tell me plainly, is there actual evidence of where this goes long term or not? Well, we don't know. It's unprecedented. Well, you know the same thing. I would talk to my grandparents. I'd talk to my parents. and I'd ask them about their childhood, they didn't run around at, 5 years old. I'm not saying there's 5 year olds running around here with iPhones, but they weren't running around as little kids with these super phones, smartphones going on the internet, looking at these things day in and day out. What I'm trying to say is we don't know what the long-term effects of this will do. And who is really trying to just mess up everything in this world and get everybody just spiraling down the drain? It's the devil. Now, the cool thing is that we can use those tools and we can talk to more people, we can evangelize more, we can get to a bigger audience than we ever could. And that's where we have to learn how to beat the devil at his own game, take the things that we have been given. It is really a blessing to have communication with people in India, the Philippines, a lot of places. It's very much a blessing. But we have to take those things and, as Nolan said earlier, handle them with responsibility rather than irresponsibility. I have a ton of facts that I could talk about. I'm just going to briefly go through them. Like I said, sorry, it is going to go a little bit long tonight, but the war really is the battle for the mind, guys. And if the devil can grab a hold of our minds, maybe, again, he doesn't turn you into an atheist, but he makes you at least so ineffective and unproductive that you're not really helping, that's a win for him. And that's what he's trying to do. He wants people to just become, line up and just get in line and just not think for themselves, not exercise faith. So for the ages of 18 to 29, I don't remember if this was, I think this is in America, 96% of people have smartphones. Again, I do too. It's not bad. Or maybe it is bad. I don't know. Unprecedented. 69% of adults have social media. Again, I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just telling you guys the facts. That was in 2017, 69% of adults had social media. Sorry, after 2020, that number went exceptionally higher. In 2005, only 5% of people did. And that number is significantly higher for people that are under 30. Remember, the church is going to be built up by the youth, and so the youth are the people who are going to be heavily, heavily impacted by this stuff. A lot of the older generations are not as interested. We can say, well, you shouldn't be interested, but the problem is it's going to be at our doorstep, and we will, as a congregation, have to figure out how we want to deal with this stuff, how we want to discuss this, how we want to have civil conversation, but these things are going to be right at our door. Satan is knocking. Sin is going to try to get a hold of us. We have to master it. Depression has risen. It's in 2017. So I'm sure after 2020, it went up crazy amount. As of 2017, from 2005 to 2017, depression rose over 50%. And in the youth, it was over 60%. And I guarantee you now it's probably over 70% from that number. People under 30 are super depressed, super anxious, super all of the medical illness things, there's mental illness very rampant. Now, why did I bring this all up? It's really just I'm trying to bring a practical aspect of our life and world into a message to really show you the world is not doing too good without God. And where I want us to turn this now is, where are we focused? Are we allowing our focus to be going towards things that are just not going to do us any good? Let's go to Revelation chapter 2. I have a few different Proverbs and whatnot, but I guess the one I would like to just bring up is Proverbs 18, verse 9. He who is slack in work is brother to him who destroys. The guy who's slacking off might as well just be over there just cutting you off at the knees. Well, why is that? Have you ever worked with somebody that is just so, unproductive that you're having to do your job and their job too? He who is slack in his work is brother to him who destroys. Oh, what about somebody who is, there's a verse or proverb somewhere that something goes to something along the lines of when one is sent out and he's lazy, it's like vinegar to the teeth, smoke to the eyes. What happens when we as God's disciple, we as God's actual body to this world, are slack in our work? That's not very appropriate for what representing Christ. So Revelation chapter 2, this is to the church at Ephesus. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the one who holds the seven stars in the right hand, the one who walks among the seven gold lampstands, says this, I know your deeds and your toil and perseverance, and that you cannot tolerate evil men. Well, good job, Ephesus. And you put to test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not, but you have found them to be false. You have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake and have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Therefore, remember from where you have fallen and repent and do the deeds you did at first, or else I am commanding to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. Now, why am I bringing this up? Because this is interesting. I think Billings is in a great spot. I think we can always excel still more, amen? But I think Billings has been doing a tremendous amount of growing. And it's been super encouraging for me. I know it's been encouraging to many of you. What we want to do is to keep that momentum on the upscale and keep growing and growing and growing. There will be a tremendous amount of pressure to cave, but I have firm confidence that at least as long as my house and my household and my family is here, I'm going to make a stand for the Lord. How about you? It is growing, and it's growing in the proper direction, so don't misunderstand me on this stuff. The church of Ephesus, though, they were very fruitful, were they not? Let's go to Acts chapter 19. Because if you looked back at Revelation, it says, man, you guys are doing a lot of good things. You're casting out those who are evil. You know, you're opposing false apostles. You're standing on solid doctrine. That's what it sounds like. They were doing a lot of good things. But he did say, but I have this against you. You've lost your first love. And he did make a further thing. He basically said, I'm going to rip the lampstand out if you guys don't repent. That's pretty intimidating. They did a lot of good things. They were obviously standing against evil, but maybe they had lost really why they were doing it. Maybe they had lost that love that compelled them to go and evangelize, to go and find others. They lost really that key element. Acts chapter 19, this is, we talked about this recently a lot, talking about the different immersions. Paul goes to those in Ephesus and he says, hey, have you heard, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They said, we not even heard there's a Holy Spirit. He said, what baptism did you get? They said, into John's baptism. And so you guys know how that whole story goes. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Verse 6, and when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them and they began speaking with tongues and prophesying. They were in all about 12 men. And he entered the synagogue and began speaking out boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. But when some were becoming hardened and disobedient, speaking evil of the way before the people, he withdrew from them and took away the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus, which is in Ephesus. This took place for 2 years, so that all who lived in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. Ephesus was on fire. Remember, every Wednesday, what do we try to pray for? Well, we pray for a bunch of different things. One thing that we usually try to put up on the board is we pray that the word spreads rapidly. Amen? Do we mean it? I hope so. They were doing it. In Ephesus, it says, man, Paul was there for 2 years, and the word spread everywhere, throughout all Asia. Ephesus was like a pillar. That's pretty exciting.
But then you get to a point where Revelation, Jesus says, dude, you've lost your first love, and if you don't change, I'm going to rip the lampstand out. What was the exhortation? Excel still more. Don't forget what really matters, and that is to continue the preaching of the gospel, to continue encouraging, stimulating one another to love and good deeds, to stay focused where we need to be focused. If you could just turn to Ephesians chapter 5 with me. It was really, you know, it was extremely encouraging. One of the things that I think has been so encouraging is just the momentum, and it was really cool being at Micah's immersion yesterday. One of the things that we always read at an immersion is Ephesians chapter 5. So let's just turn there, because we were talking about those at Ephesus. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 13. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Man, that's such a good verse. We're brought spiritually to life in that watery grave. Therefore, be careful how you walk. This is the exhortation. Okay, you've been born again. You're raised. What are you supposed to do? Be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. This is where I'm kind of bringing it full circle from Proverbs 4. What is our encouragement? Again, I'm not sure how this will be received. I'm not saying that if you have social media, you're bad. Okay, please don't misinterpret me. But I do think, like I said, we haven't seen the long-term ramifications of what it can do to a populace. And so my encouragement is to just be wise, make the most of your time, because the days are evil, and to continue to pursue your first love, which is Jesus Christ. Thank you.